Welcome to another episode of the Hero Bells podcast, and today is episode 16, where we talk about focus, and this was how to be focused in an age of distraction. And we've been reading from Daniel Goleman's book, Focus, which has been a great book. I've just read the first chapter to kind of get you really interested in the book. But today we're actually going to go through a little bit more of the practical part of this, so that we can take it into our day-to-day lives. I would highly recommend that you get this book because it's going to give you a much more, we'll just say, clinical view or understanding of focus if that's what you want. But for some people, and I am assuming that's why you're here, is that you want the skinny. So that's what I'm going to give you. But I'm going to give it to you just more from my research than from the book because I don't want to take anything away from the author. He's the one who put in, Daniel Goleman, a tremendous amount of effort to be able to make that book, and you definitely should go and pick it up and support him. So, that being said, we're going to get right to it in a minute here. But like I said before, my name is Kyle McCaffrey, and I am the lead trainer at Hero Bells, just a little outfit based in Valencia, Spain at the moment. I'm from Canada, British Columbia, Vancouver, not necessarily in that order. I'm from a small town all you really have to do is focus on small things. Now I suppose that my little town has changed, but I figure, pardon me. I figure I need some water is what I need. A little dehydrated today. But anyways, I'm going to continue reading just a little bit from the book. Not too much, just a paragraph, and I'm going to let that lead into the next podcast. I'm saying, yeah, it's going to be the next one. I'm going with that. I'd rather just be definite about it and give you something to look forward to. So here's the book. Focus, the hidden drivers of excellence, the hidden driver, singular, pardon me. He starts off with a question. Do you love what you do? The big question when you get up in the morning, are you happy about getting to work, school, or whatever that occupies your day? Research by Harvard's Howard Gardner, Stanford's William Damon, and Claremont's Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, I think that's how you say it. I have a Hungarian friend, and I know she's going to just pull her hair out. Anyways, they zeroed in on what they called the good work, in quotes, a potent mix of what people are excellent at and what engages them and their ethics. What they believe matters. Those are more likely to be high absorption callings. People love what they are doing. Full absorption in what we do feels good, and pleasure is the emotional marker for flow. So that's just a little bit of a foreshadowing into what we're going to be getting into on the next podcast. We're going to get into flow a little bit. I guess I don't need to foreshadow. I can just fucking tell you. Yeah, I'm actually going to read from a book about flow, and I think I'm going to have a podcast pretty soon of a guy that I follow on Instagram. His name's Danny Cola. And that's something I want to talk to him about, but I'm not guaranteeing that's what we're going to talk about because, of course, maybe he doesn't want to talk about it, but I think he does. Anyway, Danny, if you listen to this, I want to talk about that. People are in flow relatively rarely in life. Sampling people's moods at random reveals that most of the time, people are either stressed or bored with only occasional periods of flow. Only about 20% of people have flow moments at least once a day. Around 15% of people never enter a flow state during a typical day. For me, when I enter a flow state, I do that with kettlebells, and I tend to, that's probably the only place in my time in my life where I actually really do enter this kind of flow state. But it becomes increasingly more rare the more I do it, which is really strange. I don't know why. And maybe it's just boredom. I think, once you get too used to something, you have to inject a little bit of novelty. And I think that being mediating on that edge of novelty and competence, not incompetence, really is going to be really where flow state really happens, at least for myself. But obviously the research and the book that we're going to read from is going to clarify that. So back to the book. One key to more flow in life comes when we align what we do with what we enjoy. As is the case with most, with those fortunate folks whose jobs give them great pleasure. High achievers in any field, the lucky ones anyway, have hit on this combination. So sort of getting into what I was just saying, you have to align with what you do with what you enjoy. So there has to be a level of enjoyment. And that could mean, like I was saying, that there's times where I get a little bit bored and I don't enter the flow state. It becomes mechanical and I guess utilitarian. I don't know if that's the right word, but it just feels like I'm doing things out of utility, or heaven forbid, do it for the gram. But anyway, so I just wanted to touch on that just a little bit and get into just some quick answers about how to actually focus in this time of distraction. And I illuminated a little bit through that book. I suppose Daniel Goleman did. I just read it. On how difficult it is to actually focus because of distractions. And it's sort of, we honed in on just distraction alone, but of course there's other things that you need to do, like having positive habits in order to focus. So for one thing, you need to relax. Maybe you have a busy life, you have children. I don't have children. And if you do have children, I imagine it must be very, very difficult to even think you can find time to relax. And maybe you know, looking from the outside in, I've seen plenty of mothers, plenty of fathers with lots of time to relax, provided that they did a few things, like one, work together, of course, and B, actually don't give in to the idea that it consumes everything you do, because I think that's just a prime territory to build up resentment for your own kids. And I've seen it before with my friends that do have kids. But like I said, I don't, and I don't want to talk too far out of school because I already look dumb enough. But anyway, so you got to sit down and breathe. And that doesn't necessarily mean meditate, but I would meditate if I were you. You don't have to do a seance. You don't got to light candles, no music, no incense, nothing like that. You don't have to have dirty feet and eat granola all day. Just sit down and breathe. And that's going to prime your mind to focus on the task at hand. That's actually a game changer, or better yet, I would call it a force multiplier. That might be one of the biggest things that's hard for me, because I am intolerant to this woo-woo sort of pseudo-spiritual kind of thing that many people preach about. And it's just, you know, you're sitting down, you're breathing, you're altering your brain chemistry. And that's, I'm not saying that's it, but I would say that it is the core tenet of what's giving you the clarity to start the task at hand and focus on what's in front of you. So the next thing is, I'm going to quote Jocko Willink. If you don't follow him, I'm sure you should be, and you might already. But prioritize your tasks. Obviously, writing down your to-do list is going to be a huge thing. Some people don't do that. They just figure they've got it all locked in. I'm guilty of doing that. I just think, oh yeah, I don't need to make a plan. I already know what's going on. And I figure sometimes I just assume that I'm a brainiac and I've got it all figured out. I don't need a to-do list. Well, make a list. But prioritize those, rank order them, and execute. You got to look at your long-term plan and see what deserves your attention. And once you do rank order them or just write them down, you're going to realize that some of the priorities that you do have, if you take a moment, are actually really ridiculous. That's unusual. Lots of background noise. I don't normally have that. So sounds like somebody's cutting something with a saw. You know, it's those times in life where you just wish you had a grenade. I don't know. Anyway, hilariously, my next point is removing distractions. So obviously I can't remove that distraction of somebody, you know, creating noise while I'm trying to record a podcast with a grenade, although that would be amazing, but that's kind of the Wild West and definitely sadistic. But nonetheless, remove your distractions. So one thing, to get all the notifications off your phone, if you're not some social media influencer or you don't have a business online of any kind and you're just consuming it, there's really no excuse to have it other than just to stare at butts all day if you're a man, or if you're a woman, maybe a shop on there. But for the most part, just try to get yourself off there as much as you can. Set a time where you consume it like a dum-dum. Maybe you're waiting for the water to boil in your bowl of, your pot of water where you're going to make some noodles or something like that. Look at Instagram for about 3 minutes and you should be good. Other than that, there isn't really much that you need to do on there. Next, I'm not sure I agree with this next point, but some people really do say that you can use healthy enhancements like coffee or tea. For me, I switched to tea. Coffee just makes me jittery. I don't know. It's weird because I've had coffee since I was a teenager and I love coffee. Not like a coffee dork, but I really enjoy a cup of coffee. Waking up in the morning, that's when you're really broke, like I have been. Sometimes you don't have much to look forward to, but coffee is cheap enough. And I would look forward to a cup of coffee the next day. If I'm going to wake up early and someone says, hey, you got to wake up at 5 a.m., I'm looking forward to that coffee. And furthermore, I might be homicidal if someone gets in between me and that coffee. However, now I've switched to tea and I don't get jittery. But anyway, you can try something like that if you're not doing that already. You know, some people just have it because that's what wakes them up and gives them a good poop and that's it. But anyways, next is you can add music that doesn't distract you. For me, music is a huge part of my business and what I do and how I teach people, actually. So I tend to try to keep most of the music that I use for my classes or for my personal training sessions to have something that doesn't change rhythm or the mood too much. Like there's not a lot of variance, and it's not that it's not monotone in any way. And typically there's songs that the clients enjoy, but for you, if say you're studying or you're working from home, which I sometimes do, I would recommend just not going from things like Tchaikovsky to Metallica. Might not be a good idea, but if Metallica is your thing and that's what gets you zoned in, go for it. Some people, I don't know how they do it, but they can listen to that kind of stuff or anything that I don't. It just blows my mind. But I think it's a highly individual thing, and I say go for it. Next is take breaks. Plan for those breaks in your work. Also understand that every time you change tasks, it takes a considerable amount of time to refocus and be actually productive. Next, you can organize and clean your workspace. So whether that's your desk or your entire house, go for it. For me, I really do subscribe to the idea that your house is, how would you say, an analog for your mind. I really do think that there's, I'm not really a feng shui kind of guy, but I do understand that there is something about having a clean house and how it affects how you feel and how, not to be too feely, but I think it affects your consciousness. Next, you got to understand that focus is a muscle and you can expand your focus over time, like when you're working out. And that kind of this is one way that I really tie it into my podcast, because most of the things that I teach in my life or as a professional is teaching people to exercise. But focus is a part of that, and it is all relevant when you consider that there is an analogy, or a good comparison rather, that fitness has with many things. For instance, work ethic or psychology or you name it. But you can do many, many things. You don't have to be really, really, really smart in order to be able to do just about anything. You know, if you really want to, if you actually want to do something, you really can. And focusing is one of those things. I know I feel so stupid sometimes when I can't focus on something, but it's not just me. It's not just you. You're not alone. You might be able to only focus for 15 minutes. But apparently in this day and age, most people have the memory of a fucking goldfish. So don't feel bad. I start to fade around 45 minutes, which to me, once I actually timed it out when I needed to take a break, I was like, Jesus, I can't think of anything. I hit the timer. I was like, I actually made it to 45 minutes doing a task. I honestly thought I was going to make it 20 minutes tops. Mind you, I did go through a few other habits. I made sure that I woke up early and I was just going through a solid routine. So that's kind of the next thing that I want to say is making sure that you have a routine. The human mind really loves routine, and some people more will love that more or less. But for me, I really like the idea of having a routine where things are the same for the most part every single day. Of course, things are going to change, you know, especially if you have more relationships in your life. For me, I have my sister-in-law, and I live with my sister-in-law and my wife and my dog. They all take my attention. And everybody's habits overlap and get in each other's way. So naturally, every single day is going to be a little bit different. Now, you need to avoid the myth of multitasking. Our brains cannot multitask, so get that out of your head. We can only decrease the time between tasks. And apparently, there's only a few people who are actually good at it. You know, you get the people who are saying, I don't know, a good example, not to pick on women, but women just will say that, oh, moms can do everything all at once. And the fact of the matter is that, yeah, I think women are very good at being able to handle a good amount of stress. But when it comes to multitasking, almost nobody's actually good at it. And something gets lost in the fire. You'll end up paying for it, and sometimes at a really great cost. So maybe you're carrying your kid to the car while you're talking on the phone, let alone driving and talking. There's a really good example, just to keep it short and sweet. You can't do it. Even though those two things, once you're really, really competent at either one, you're not good at both of them at the same time. So just understand that. You can trip over something and hurt yourself, and maybe that seems like something quite innocuous, but in fact, you hurt yourself, you start bleeding, you have to take care of the wound because you don't want to bleed over everything. You're, you know, maybe on the way to drop your child off at daycare and on your way to a job interview after that. And while you're doing this, you're on the phone or something. You're going to pay for that in the end anyways. So why would you do that? If you were able to make better decisions and prioritize what you need to do and you actually prepared for it, you're going to be just fine. So that brings to the next point. Prepare yourself for the next day. Now, one thing that I try to do, and of course, like anybody, I fail at some of my habits all the time. It's really important to not be neurotic about that too, by the way. But anyways, prepare yourself for the next day. Imagine your goal and begin with the end in mind. Not my quote. I think that's Stephen Covey that said that. But I look at every day as a preparation for the end goal. So I have weekly goals. And then every day, weekday, I work on the present just for a little bit and say, you know, what do I want to achieve today that's about today? And of course, that also has to be commensurate with my plan for the week and prepare for the future. Some days are good, some days are bad. Some days I won't achieve that much, but it would have fit into my plan anyways. So it's worth it to just keep thinking about preparation. And then that brings me to routine. Routine, routine, routine. If you focus on the routine, the preparation becomes a lot easier. So work with that. Try to find out what you can do every single day. And then to understand that what you would do, maybe chores isn't the right word. What you do every day that just won't change. Maybe you have to, you know, maybe it is take care of your kids, or you got to vacuum every day, or work out every day. Those things don't really go on your to-do list. That's the automatic stuff. Then we start working on the stuff that's not automatic, but your routine is going to buttress, I love that word, is going to buttress that. All the things that you're trying to excel at that are on top of the routine that you do are only going to be, you're only going to be able to excel at those things typically if your routine is solid. And that all being said, thank you very much for listening. This was episode 16, and this concludes the three-part series that I was doing, or that we're doing, on focus and how to focus in an age of distraction. So I would suggest, of course, please pick up Daniel Goleman's book, Focus, The Hidden Driver of Excellence. And you can really get an expanded and comprehensive and maybe and probably more concise view or understanding of this topic, because it's quite complex. But I wanted to give you a few, maybe it was a lot, of practical advice that you can take into your day. So anyways, thank you very much for listening. Have a wonderful day, and stay tuned for the next series, which is going to be about flow and achieving flow states. And hopefully, if I can get Danny Cola on here, we'll be talking about flow states and how he knows how to achieve them. Thank you very much. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. I hope this podcast was useful to you. I want to let you know that I have more tips and workouts available on YouTube that will also help you along the way of your training. Just search Hero Bells, and please comment. I love comments. Like and subscribe, turn on notifications, and check in often. Thanks so much again. Have a great day.